Oh, where the Spirit don't speak through me with tongues, oh Lord, giving worship, giving in praise. I don't have to have a special invitation. I don't even want to shoot him not step in that prayer closet. I am ready to speak in tongues and communicate with my God. Hallelujah. I'm ready to offer up mysteries unto him. I'm ready to have my Spirit minister to. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, when you speak in tongues, it edifies and builds you up. Hallelujah. Why are you such a strong Christian? I'll tell you why. Hallelujah. Because Jesus filled me with the Holy Ghost. And every day I go in the prayer closet and I get my Holy Ghost tank filled back up. Amen. If you ain't getting your Holy Ghost tank filled back up and you're not praying in the Spirit, amen, like you ought to every day, it's a wonder you ain't got no faith to hardly even get up out of your bed. Amen. And make a step in the day. If you get in your prayer closet and you pray in the Spirit and let your faith get built up, you come out of there with a little bit more pep in your step, and you would be ready for anything that may come your way. Hallelujah. I don't want to miss my moment in the presence, in the Spirit of God. We are in a special place here, church. Amen. God is watching us. Doors are opening up to us. We were at the National Day of Prayer, and we stepped into the court, the city hall where they have their meetings every week. Amen. We've been praying, God, put Spirit-filled men and women in charge of important things in our community. And he sent out emails, Brett McGuire, and he said, if you want to come, we're going to start every one of our city meetings off with prayer. And we want all the pastors to come and pray. And I've been in there, and I prayed. It was only just about a minute or so, maybe two. I could feel the holy power of God in my prayers. Amen. And that mayor that we have, he lit there. I don't know what they were thinking, because they're always worried about where they're going to put Pastor Rob Morris from the Jesus Name Pentecostal Church. He's quiet, he don't say much. Whenever you put him in charge of something, ain't no telling what's going to come up out of his mouth. And then, I don't know what they were saying. They said, we want you to pray for the mayor tonight. I said, well, hallelujah, have the mayor come on down here. Let's have some preachers come down here. Let's lay hands on him in the name of Jesus. And that's what we did. And I was praying today, spoke to me, and he said, because Brent McGuire has opened the door of City Hall to let my name in there and to let the men and women of God come in there and pray, that I am going to begin to open things to him and release things to him. I'm telling you, the blessings of the kingdom of God are coming. The time is now, not tomorrow, not next week, not next mayoral election. The time is now, and I felt it in the Holy Ghost. I've been feeling this prayer for 2 years, that we ought to pray for the homosexual community and the lesbian community and LGBTQ, XYZ, and whoever and whatever. And I said, I've been feeling in the Holy Ghost. I hear people praying, they're complaining and whining, and I'm like, what are you doing? You need to pray in the name of Jesus that God would save their souls and deliver them from the devil's deceptions, and that they would be filled with the Spirit and find Jesus, and that they would go forth back into their community and preach Jesus into the darkest places that are in our society right now. Somebody, so guess what? I prayed at City Hall last week. It's what Jesus wants. I didn't sit at home going, what am I going to pray for this time? It's going to be something good. I'm going to make it. Ooh, it's going to be controversial. I'm going to get my name in the Almighty. That's what the Lord laid on my heart to pray. And then the man that was over the prayer meeting, he sent me a message on Friday. It was an article from the Christian Broadcasting Network. And it was from what would have been the 55th victim at the Pulse nightclub shooting, where all of those 54 people were shot and killed and their lives snuffed out. Many of them straight to the devil's hell. And he said in the article, I should have been number 55. But he said, that night I found Jesus. He said, that night I met Jesus. And he said, now I renounce my old lifestyle. And Jesus has delivered me from Jesus came to deliver us from the darkness and bring us into His marvelous light. Now is the time. And if we're not careful, we'll miss our moment. In Luke chapter 19, verses 41 through 44, Jesus, the Bible says, He drew near to and saw the city, and He wept over it. Oh, can there be any more sad of an epitaph to such a blessed people? They were the descendants of Abraham, the father of the covenant. They were the people, the descendants of the father of the faithful. He was faithful. He believed God. Oh, but these people that had come through the Red Sea, these people that had survived the death angel, these people that had come into the land of promise and knocked down giants and walled cities, amen, and they had backslid so horribly, and for 70 years were captive in Babylon, and then God mercifully brought them again to their promised land, brought them back to the city and to the nation that God said, it is called by My name. There is no smaller, meaner place on the planet Earth right now than that little spit of ground out there on the Mediterranean. I don't even know why people pay attention to it, but it is the place that God put His name there. There's almost more people in New York City than there are in the nation of Israel. And against all God brought them back from their first captivity, and they returned and they rebuilt their temple and they rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem, and God gave them prophets and prophecies, and God told them through the prophet Daniel that in over 400 years, I believe something like 483 years, 490 years, that your Messiah will come to your temple, that the Messiah is going to come. And He gave them the exact Messiah would show up. And the Bible says, hallelujah, when Jesus was born, they brought Him into the temple, and there was a man named Simeon. He was an old priest. He read the Bible. He read the Word of God. He knew the prophecies, and he knew that this was the year. He knew that this was the time, and he'd been praying, and he said, God told me that You will not die before Your eyes see the deliverer, the Messiah. And the Bible says when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus into the temple, the second temple that was rebuilt by Ezra and Zerubbabel, and the walls by Nehemiah, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord fell on Simeon. And he said, now let me die in peace, because my eyes have seen the Holy Child. This Jesus showed up exactly when He said that He would, and He appeared suddenly in His temple and to His people, and He went out into the Galilean region to be raised by the blue collar workers of the day, and there He appeared after 30 years of life, and He began to preach, and He began to heal, He began to cast out devils and demons before their eyes and raised the dead. He miraculously caught nets full of fish. He miraculously multiplied lunch boxes of food to feed thousands and thousands of people. He drove out leprous skin diseases and raised up the lame and opened up the blind eyes. God said He's going to do something, baby. He's going to do it right when He said. The danger that comes to us is when we're not aware, when we're not paying attention. 400 years, a lot of things can happen, and you can get distracted and lose your way, and drift away and fall away from God and forget what God has said that He was going to do. Church, amen, God is still a healer. He's still a deliverer. He still makes all things new, and He's still the same Jesus.
able right now than he ever has been. And he is no less willing right now than he is at this exact moment. At no other point in time has he been more willing. At no other point in time has he been more ready to deliver you and change your life for the better than he is right now. Jesus stood on Palestine. There's little hills and mountains. They go up and down. He looked over the city. And the Bible says that he wept over it. Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. Oh God, open our eyes today. Amen. To where we can see more than the golden arches of McDonald's. And to where that we can see the streets of gold. Open our eyes today, Lord, to where that we can see more. Amen. Than our Facebook on our cell phones. And how perfectly clipped our fingernails may be while the preacher preaches. God, open the eyes of our heart. And let us begin to see in the eyes of faith. There is a moment that is about to happen in this building. That if we will let our faith out. And we will open up our hearts. Right now. God is so ready. When Peter preached to Cornelius' house in Acts chapter 10. The Bible said that while he was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell on them. When was the last time you saw the Holy Spirit fall when the preacher was preaching? It's been a while. I'll tell you why the Holy Spirit fell when Peter was preaching. Because Cornelius was ready for his moment. He had gathered in his wife and his children. He had gathered in his slaves and his servants and his soldiers. And he said, a man is going to come here and tell us what we need to do to be saved. And they were ready. Peter didn't even have a chance to finish his preaching. Matter of fact, he was kind of a long-winded preacher. They all was. Paul used to preach so long that people fell asleep, Brother Nick, and fell out of the window and nearly killed themselves. Because the preacher could preach all night when the Holy Ghost gets on him. Hallelujah. But that's one thing. What I'm preaching about is when a church, when a saint of God, when a person who is desperately in need opens up their heart of faith and looks out to Jesus, even while the preacher is preaching, the Holy Ghost can fall. Hallelujah. Well, I got to wait till you give the altar call. Cornelius didn't wait for nobody's altar call. They didn't even know what an altar call was, but they knew what a moment was, and their moment was then and there, and they are instantaneously received. But Jesus wept over Jerusalem. One that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. How many miracles did Jesus have to work for people to begin to believe that he was who he said he was? You can heal 10 lepers, but only one will ever come to know who Jesus is. You can see miracle on top of miracle on top of miracle. You know what these guys said to Jesus after having seen all these miracles, after having seen all he had done, and the last thing that he did in just about a week's time before he was crucified was he raised Lazarus from the dead. He was dead 4 days. And what did they say when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? They said, we're jealous of him. He's taken away our power. Let's kill Jesus and let's kill Lazarus. That's what happens when you miss your moments. Show us a sign, Jesus. Matthew 16:1-4. And the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and to test him, they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. And he answered them, when it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. And so he left them and departed. You can listen to a vehicle engine, and by the very sound of it, you can tell what's broken in it. Oh, how it clicks and how it clacks. Ladies, you can tell by the smell and the look and the feel whether that meal is ready to come on up out of that oven and be served on the table. We can tell by looking at our partner, when we look in their face, what's going on in their heads. We can look at our kids and see their droopy eyes and know that they need to take a nap. But we miss the opportunities and the moments that come our way time and time and time again.
When
it comes to the move of God, we're like we don't even realize that anything is going on. Luke 12:54. And what did Jesus say? He said the only sign you're going to have is the sign of the prophet Jonah. What was that? After all the miracles that Jesus had performed, he said, you are going to kill me, but I am going to raise this body back up in 3 days. The sign of the prophet Jonah was that 3 days and three nights he was in the belly of the whale. And so 3 days and three nights Jesus would be in the belly of the earth. Jesus resurrected from the grave. And the very, very dark early of the morning on Sunday. And he appeared to his disciples. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, I believe 15, that he appeared to as many as 500 people at one time. And you know what the Jews did? Remember that he said that he would tear this temple down and raise it back up in 3 days? Let's pay these guards money so they'll tell this other story. They missed their opportunity. They missed their moment. And their own Messiah they crucified. Jesus said, for the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone upon another in you because you did not know the time of your visitation. If there's anything that will bring tears to the eyes of the man Jesus Christ, our Messiah, if there's anything that will bring sorrow to the heart of God, it's when men and women do not realize their hour that God has visited them to bless them and to pour out His Spirit on them. Church, I don't want to miss my moment. I don't want to miss my moment and bring tears to the eyes of God. No wonder the Bible says when one sinner repents that all the angels in heaven rejoice. Hallelujah. Would you like to make God cry today? Or would you like to be the cause rejoicing? I don't want to miss my time. I want us to stand together today. Now, I know this is a little bit different. And I have six, seven, eight pages of notes of the very finely tuned wording and things that I could have said. But I have run with this today in the Holy Ghost and just thrown it out there. He said, well, Brother Rob, hallelujah, you should have went with the finely tuned wording that you had. Amen. Well, let me tell you where you are at in the spiritual realm. Let me speak to the level of your spiritual maturity. We need to learn to be sensitive and flow with the Spirit of God. Because they didn't know their time. The only thing left today, the only thing left today, the only thing left is an outer wall that surrounded the complex. It wasn't even an inner wall. It didn't even have anything to do with the temple. You know what they call it? They call it the Wailing Wall. No doubt when Jesus stood at the peak of the hill, as he got ready to round the top and go down into the valley, then back up into the city of Jerusalem, he saw that outer wall. It may have been close to the one that Satan tried to tempt him over. He saw there that it was the only crumbled piece of wall that was left in that facility. And he wept because he could see all of the Jews that would later weep there at that wall. And you know what they pray for when they weep at that wall? Messiah, come back. Messiah, come back. Deliver us. Sad place to be when you miss your moment in God. Sad place to be where you've had excuses and other places to be and other things to do. A sad place to be where you use rationality and excuses on top of excuses. Why this wasn't your day and this wasn't your time. A sad place to be when the only thing that's left for you is a place to weep at what could have been. Is a place to weep at what might have been. An opportunity that has passed you by. Oh, but I have things I want to do. I know right now of young people that have been called by God to do great things in the kingdom. And they have been distracted. And their lives are now filled with sin. And when I was meditating and praying on this message for today, it brought pain to my heart to know, to see. There are young people that could be preaching up here today instead of me. But instead, they're not here. Instead, they have made decisions and made mistakes in their lives, and now they're weighted down with sins and cares that will be very difficult for them to get free from. But I have a plan. I have things that I need to do. I have places to go and people to see. I have my whole life in front of me. Thank you. That is exactly what I've been trying to say this whole entire time. You have your life in front of you. Do something with it. By Robert Burns, to a mouse on turning up her nest with a plow. Small, crafty, cowering, timorous little beast. Oh, what a panic is in your little breast. You need not start away so hasty with argumentative chatter. I would be loath to run and chase you with murdering plowstaff. I'm truly sorry man's dominion has broken nature's social union and justifies that ill opinion which makes thee startle at me, thy poor earth-born companion and fellow mortal. I doubt not sometimes but you may steal. What then? Poor little beast, you must live. An odd ear in 24 sheaves is a small request. I will get a blessing with what is left and never miss it. Your small house, too, in ruin. Its feeble walls, the winds are scattering. And nothing now to build a new one, of course, grass green. And bleak December's winds coming, both bitter and piercing. You saw the fields laid bare and wasted. And weary winter coming fast. And cozy here, beneath the blast, you thought to dwell. Till crash, the cruel plow passed out through your cell. That small bit heap of leaves and stubble has cost you many a weary nibble. Now you are turned out for all your trouble, without house or holding to endure the winter's sleet dribble and hoar frost cold. But little mouse, you are not alone. Improving foresight may be vain. The best laid schemes of mice and men often go often askew and leave us nothing but grief and pain for promised joy. Still you are blessed compared with me. The present only touches you. But oh, I backward cast my eye on prospects dreary. And forward, though I cannot see, I guess and fear. The life that we want to make for ourselves and the world that we want to build for ourselves is nothing more than a little collection of nibbles of grass and hay and stubble that we have put together to shelter ourselves from the storm they call life. But Jesus today is offering you something more than the best laid plans of mice and men. Jesus today is offering you a moment to make a decision, change your life forever. What a terrible waste. Of over nearly 2,000 years of a nation, still today, about the size and population of New York City. By now, Jesus could have returned. By now, the world could be filled with the kingdom of Christ. But because these people missed their moments, hallelujah. But yet, nearly 2,000 years later, God has raised up the nation of Israel. They've cobbled together a little wood, hay, and stubble, a little bit of nibbles of grass and newspaper clippings, and they're what we would call a nation again. Church, we understand and we know these things. It's up to us not to miss our moment. It's up to us not to miss our moment. We understand the complexity and the brevity of prophetic fulfillment that is happening right now. We don't have time to play games with the past. We don't have time to play games with our future. We need to let the moment right now become a serious moment for us where Jesus steps in. It shows us and tells us exactly what needs to happen here and now. I wonder if you would come at this time. And I know, again, I cannot go beyond the hurdles that you have placed in your heart and mind to see and to receive, and the hurdles that I have placed in my own mind. But I invite you right now, without the support of fancy music, without the support of all of those things that get us worked up, and would you give yourself to Jesus once and for all? Would you let Jesus take all of the junk out of your life, and would you let Him fill you with His love and His grace and His favor today, right now? Or will we come to find you later and be nothing left of you but a wall to weep and a wall to wail at? You'll have another Sunday. There'll be another revival. There'll be another prayer meeting. There'll be another day. I pray today for you, for your sake, that that is the case. Friend, we need to repent of our sins and ask God to forgive us of all of our lives' mistakes and failures, and ask Him to give us a fresh start. We need to let tears of grief and sorrow over our mistakes and the way that we have hurt God, because you're not hurting the person that lives with you. You're not hurting the person in the house with you. You're not hurting your neighbor or your co-worker. You are hurting God. And we need to ask God to forgive us of that today. We need to ask God, church, for God to forgive us of doubting Him and letting so many opportunities pass us by, and ask God to teach us to walk in the Spirit like we should. What are you waiting for today? I've invited you to come. Nobody's coming to the front. Nobody's stepping out. Where are those whose lives need to be changed? Where are those who are ready to make a decision? What are you waiting for? This is your time. This is your day. This is your moment. Take a step towards God, and He will take a step towards you. Draw close to God, and He will draw close to you. Is there anyone else that will come and join these that are in the front right now? But Brother Rob, you're trying to force something to happen.
We remember, I'm going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 30 of the English Standard Version. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also He took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. As we come to the communion table, there are three things we should remember. First, we should look back. We are to participate in communion in remembrance of Christ. Though we must be reverent and must be appreciative of what communion symbolizes, communion also speaks of intimacy and fellowship. And so, we look back. We look back to the cross. We remember what Christ accomplished for us. And we are reminded of His love for us. Second, we are to look ahead. The Scriptures say to do this until He comes again. The first time Jesus came to this earth, He came as a suffering servant. The next time, He will come as the conquering King. Communion is an observance to remind us that Jesus will come again.
Yes, amen.
Third, communion is a time to look within. We are to look within and ask the Holy Spirit to show us any areas of our lives that may not be pleasing to God. Once we acknowledge these areas, we are to repent of these sins. To fail to do so and then to partake in the communion is to eat and drink damnation to yourself, or it is to eat and drink, not honoring the body of Christ. So come to the communion table in joy. Come in reverence. Come in honesty. If there is something that isn't right, this is a time to deal with it. Communion is an ideal time to make a commitment or recommitment to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Let's partake of this bread. Oh, hallelujah. Let us partake of this juice. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, you're so good to us.
Hallelujah.